WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, October 12th. Coming up, we'll take you to a small Midwestern elementary school where students take care of chickens, pigs, sheep, and goats. That story from Harvest Public Media is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Democrats who control the General Assembly are already facing legal challenges from Republicans and Latino voting rights groups over new legislative maps the majority party passed earlier this year. But as Hannah Meisel reports, a group representing black voters is asking the U.S. Department of Justice to intervene.
The legislative maps drawn after the 2010 census made for an unprecedented number of majority black districts in both Illinois' House and Senate. But the redistricting plan Governor J.B. Pritzker signed last month would cut the number of majority black districts in half in favor of more majority-minority districts. Valerie Leonard of Illinois African Americans for Equitable Redistricting says that still dilutes the black vote.
It doesn't take much for white people or a coalition of white and another race to get together and displace, the will of the black voters in that district.
Leonard's group is asking the Department of Justice to dig into whether Illinois' redistricting plan comports with the Federal Voting Rights Act. I'm Hannah Meisel.
2 days, two marathons, two podium finishes. That's what two University of Illinois wheelchair athletes accomplished at the Chicago and Boston marathons on Sunday and Monday. Tatiana McFadden and Daniel Romanchuk both finished second yesterday at the Boston Marathon, less than 24 hours after winning the Chicago Marathon on Sunday. McFadden says she was happy with second place in a race she's won 5 times.
But I'll come back and I'll win this race again. But this was quite a challenge, and the only elite female athlete to do it. I was up for it, so I'm pretty happy with second today. I cannot complain. And it was tough.
That audio courtesy of CBS Boston. Manuela Schar won the women's wheelchair race, and Marcel Hug claimed the men's title. Illinois state employees do not look like the people who live here. That's particularly true of the state's indigenous peoples. Cherokee citizen and Illinois businessman Andrew Johnson is working to change that. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes has more.
Andrew Johnson chairs the state's Native American Employment Plan Advisory Council. It's a new group that met for the first time in December 2020.
We know that there is a vibrant population today, but we really have not had any participation representation there on the state level.
The council aims to up the number of Indigenous state employees, particularly in leadership positions. And so far, the members are seeing progress. Speaking on the 21st show, Johnson pointed to certain state positions reserved for Native Americans that were open for years and are now filled. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
Champaign County public health officials reported 14 new COVID-19 cases yesterday. The number of active cases in the county fell to 414, near the lowest point since early August. Carle Hospital in Urbana, which serves several counties, reports 64 patients with COVID-19, the highest number in 3 weeks. 13 of those patients are in the ICU. Still to come, we'll go to a small Midwestern elementary school where students take care of chickens, pigs, sheep, and goats. A trip to farm school is coming up next on 217 Today.
The new Masterpiece series Guilt begins with brothers Max and Jake involved in a deadly accident and follows the fallout as they try to cover their tracks. Mark Bonner and Jamie Sevis star in this tale with startling plot twists and dark humor. Just when they think the worst is behind them, things just get worse. Learn how you can binge watch this critically acclaimed drama as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Even in America's breadbasket, most children know more about TikTok than livestock. But some schools are making farm work into classwork. As Harvest Public Media's Katie Pikus reports, they've built chicken coops and sheep pens near their playgrounds in ways that seem to pay off in the classroom.
Welcome to Chicken Town!
Students at Marnie Simons Elementary in Hamburg, Iowa, spend a lot of time doing chores on the school's mini farm, a chicken coop, and pens for pigs, sheep, and goats. On this day, the children help farm school coordinator Spencer Baldwin trim the chickens' wings.
Okay, we'll spread that out. Bam, bam.
No one.
See, it doesn't even care.
The small Southwest Iowa school district has 50 chickens, 4 sheep, 3 goats, and 2 piglets. Students learn the basics of livestock anatomy and diet. But Baldwin says there's a larger lesson.
The biggest thing the kids learn is just how to treat the animals, how to interact with them, you know. Especially these little kids, my kindergartners out here, when we were first out here, they like to run and chase me, you know, and they don't mean anything by it. They just want to be around them. They want to pet them, want to snuggle them, whatever.
But Baldwin says the younger kids quickly learned not to stress the animals by chasing them. The older children, like fifth grader Kayla McIntosh, put in some real farm work. She wants to help deliver the sheep's babies this spring.
I've never lived on a farm, so I actually want to experience it.
Most kids in the town of 1,100 people don't live on a farm, but the majority of Hamburg students get in on farm school. And some teachers say it's affected their classes in a good way. First grade teacher Michelle Hendrickson says her students gravitate towards reading books about farm animals.
They do dive into the farm animals and want to learn more about the chickens, and more so the animals that we've had on the farm have sparked an interest in their reading.
She says her students have become more productive because they're eager to finish tasks so they can help out on the farm. But it's not all cute chicks and playful swine. Hamburg Superintendent Mike Wells says the farm teaches children a work ethic, and maintaining a farm at a school is a lot of work.
On weekends, who takes care of the animals? You have to set up a system of kids who are dependable to come in and feed and take care of the animals.
Wells says if someone doesn't lock up the chickens at night, raccoons or possums could kill them. This is the farm school's 5th year. It started after a group of students incubated some chicken eggs. Those eggs became chicks that grew up and needed a home. Students had to get special permission from the city council because local laws forbid livestock in town.
All these buildings out here were built by kids. They're not perfect, but it was their design and they built it.
A few other Iowa schools have small farm schools too. And several schools in Columbia, Missouri raise chickens. Iowa 4-H Youth Development's Ben Pullen says the number of children who live on farms and raise livestock for 4-H projects is shrinking.
Which is where having these special projects, having these different opportunities allows for youth to engage in these things that maybe didn't have that opportunity otherwise.
And with the number of farms also decreasing, people fall out of touch with where their food comes from. Natalie Carroll is a professor of agricultural science, education, and communication at Purdue University. She says a school farm can help make city kids understand farm life.
Our food doesn't just come from the store. It doesn't just show up magically. And they gain an appreciation for how much it takes to raise food, the choices that have to be made.
That's an important lesson at Hamburg's farm school. The piglets, the kids call them breakfast and lunch, will be slaughtered at the end of the school year. Farm school coordinator Spencer Baldwin says that topic will come up.
It can be a tough lesson to learn, but it's a good thing to learn, especially in an agricultural community here. You know, a lot of them have been exposed to that.
Baldwin says a few of the younger children get emotional, but the older kids help them through. Even those tough lessons feed into a hands-on education in agriculture, all part of a window into farm life for young children. Katie Pikus, Harvest Public Media.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says skies gradually clearing today with a high of 74 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Emily Hayes, and Katie Pikus. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Mulvane. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.